been in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. He keeps blessing me over and over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the day. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He keeps cleansing me over and over and over and over and over again. He keeps cleansing me over and over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the day. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over. Let's do that one more time. I keep falling I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the day.
Oh, what a love.
I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again.
Let the church say, amen. I just keep falling in love with him over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter, doesn't it? Walking with Jesus, it just gets sweeter and sweeter. He is such an awesome Savior. You know, it's good to be here this morning. Thank you all for being here. Those who perhaps could not make it due to the weather, we're glad that God blessed us with this beautiful day, that that stuff, whatever it was they were receiving up north, did not come make it our way. We just claim it, don't we, in the name of Jesus. I didn't even think last night about one time thinking about, okay, let me watch the weather forecast. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to worship regardless. If it ain't nobody but me and Jesus. Because I keep falling in love with him. Isn't it all right? You know, Brother Tim, you know, visited Brother John this past week at the hospital, and I want to encourage you to go by to see John if you possibly can. And those that's in a nursing home, Sister Ruth, you know, we are truly blessed, you all. God just blessed us with a portion of health that he's blessed us with. And as Brother Tim mentioned to me just a little bit ago before I came up here, he talked about Brother Blake had seen, he works at the hospital on the night shift, and he's seen Brother John, and John wasn't doing very well, and he's kind of down in his spirit, you all. He's down in his spirit that you know, he want members to come and see him, and there's some physical things going on with John, and we just want him to know that we are the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if you're sick. Doesn't matter where you at, you're still part of the body. And as I mentioned to Brother Pat, I said, Brother Pat, you know, for our Connect group, we have some that's out of town and some that are sick. And so it's just a handful of us in our Connect group. So I say, Pat, man, what do you think about if we just go to the hospital and take our Connect group and visit with John and sing a song and give him a word of encouragement and pray with him. Let him know that we miss him and we don't want him to think that he's not connected to us. Isn't that what this is all about, you all? This is really what this is all about. So Pat was excited about that, and so that's what we're going to do. We're going to go and just have some. We're going to take the church to John. Amen, amen. I want you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to read a passage, you all, that I'm pretty sure you all have read before, and we're going to make some application and let you go home and go to Connect groups and go home, and what are you going to do for this evening? Matthew chapter 15. Let's begin reading in the verses 10. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Matthew 15, verse 10. If you don't have your Bible, you have your electronic Bible, open that up. Open that up and study, read along with me. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man." Then his disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus says, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Church, we need to try to fix things on the surface levels, and that's what we do a lot of times, and it just doesn't work. Don't fix things this year at the level you see the problem, but seek the Lord. And that's what I want to encourage us as a church to do, is seek the Lord and ask God to show us where this sewage comes from and where it starts. And instead of just cleaning up our mess all year long, ask God to show you where it starts. The interesting thing, brethren, is that where something comes out is not usually where it comes from. Am I right? That's what Jesus was getting at with these Pharisees, because they were offended. So he took their offense as an opportunity to talk about the origin of the offense, and then he shared a little bit about the outcome. And I want to deal with those three points this morning in this passage. I want to deal with the offense, the origin, and the outcome. And I won't be long in sharing this with you, but I want you to see those three points. The offense is this: the Pharisees had caught Jesus' disciples eating without any hand sanitizer. They were eating without using Purell. Amen. Amen. And they were eating, church, obeying their old tradition that before you eat the meal, you've got to wash your hands. And I want you to watch how Jesus flips it, because we tend to do like the Pharisees, who were religious separatists who felt the need to identify their righteousness by appearance. Because, brethren, it's much easier to do that than to cultivate righteousness through love, and to cultivate righteousness through compassion and selflessness, church. And instead of fixing it at the level that can be seen, They fixed it in a way that does not produce a real sustained change. But Jesus is about to flip this on them. And he does this every time the Pharisees challenge him. These Pharisees, brethren, they came to him and they came all the way from Jerusalem. Because if you look at verses 1 in Matthew 15, the Bible says, then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus. Brethren, these are the major leaguers. Amen. These are the big boys. And they come to Jesus and they ask Jesus in verse 2, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Well, what's the question? Well, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? Watch what Jesus does with them. He takes their question, why do your disciples transgress, break the tradition of the elders? And Jesus does this. He answers and says, why do you transgress the commandment of God? Amen. Because of your tradition. He says, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Now, I didn't put the rest of the passage on there, but we got to continue to read on to verse number 9, so it will connect with verse 10, so follow along in your Bible. He says, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received me is a gift to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from God, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandment of men. Then he gets into the story. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Y'all see what was happening? These scribes and Pharisees come to Jesus. The big boys come and say, I heard, Jesus, that wait a minute, your boys are breaking tradition. They're breaking tradition. Don't we get caught up in that sometime, you all? What's the question? Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? What Jesus does, watch what he does, brethren. He takes this question. Why do your disciples break tradition? God wants us to know, church, which one is more important, the tradition of men or the truth of God. Amen. That's important for us to know today. Are we going to spend our time living out of tradition or living according to truth? It's easier, church, to live in with an invisible belief system that regulates your response in situations and even your ideals of what is possible in your life. An unquestioned belief system, brethren, is a very dangerous thing. Let me show you all that. We're going to make some application. We're going to see it in our own lives. The Pharisees, the phrase, brethren, are significant because the Pharisees are talking about the traditions of the elders. And Jesus is talking about the command of God. One is tradition and the other is truth. Amen. One, a lot of times, church, we don't know the difference because for some of us, church, we give more attention to our traditions than we do about God's truth. Amen. Some people, brethren, would rather argue about things that they don't agree about than work together about the things that they do agree about. And I find that in the church so oftentimes. Brother, we want to fight about the things that we don't agree about rather than be together on the things we agree about. Let me give you an example. In my own life, brethren, some of my ways of thinking has been handed down to me just by the culture that I lived in. And I never stopped to question why. I just did it. How many of y'all, if you see a black cat, what you gonna do? Huh? Really? What you gonna do? Turn around and go the other way. That's right. Go up on your roof with a ladder, and you may need to go underneath it. What you gonna do? I'm telling you all, this is the stuff that was going on with Jesus. In my own life, brethren, I didn't question some of this stuff. Where did this come from? I want you to write this phrase down. Where did this come from? Write that down. Where did this come from? Is this really from God? Where did this come from? Because where it comes out, it's not usually where it comes from. Sometimes we're living out church scripts in our lives that we have not even identified the author of. And so to wonder, why do I think it has to be done this way? Why do I assume that this is all I can be? Why have I told myself the story that everyone in my family was this way and I'm going to be this way too? And it's just a generational curse or a genetic dysfunction, genetic defect, brethren. Why have I believed up until this point it can't change and it never will change? This is when I live, church, according to tradition rather than truth. Right? Some of you say, well, you know what? You're going to be just like your daddy. Amen. Right? Have y'all ever heard that? You're going to be just like your mama. Okay, I'm really trying to get you all on this page, brethren. I don't want my truth, brethren, to flow from tradition, but I want my tradition to flow from truth. I want my life to reflect my values and not necessarily my habits up until this point in time. So Jesus is so brilliant in the way that he flips their traditions and says, you're actually using God in a cover-up for your dysfunctional behavior, right? Have y'all ever done that? Have we ever used the traditions, brethren, of God and our traditions to cover up our dysfunction? For example, what if we had the preaching before the communion? Huh? We used to, and it threw you off, didn't it? Brother, what if you did not eat black-eyed peas on the 1st of January? Huh? Right? There goes your good luck. Right? What about this one? What if on the 1st of January, the first person knocked on your door was a woman instead of a man? You heard that one? You ain't heard that one? Oh, wrong culture. All right. We used to hear growing up, brethren. We used to hear growing up. My parents used to say, on the 1st of January, make sure it's a man that's the first one knocks on your door, because if it's a woman, you're going to have bad luck all year long. That was a tradition. That's a tradition. And you know what we used to do? We used to do, brother, you know, at our house, you know, our sister or somebody, a female, was coming by the house on the 1st of January. And we're like, what time you come by? Huh? Well, we need Jack to come by before you come by. It's crazy stuff, you all. So Jesus, brethren, has this ability to flip it because he is truth. Brethren, they're talking about truth, but he embodies the truth. They think they know the truth, and he is the truth, the way, and the life. And they studied the word of God, brethren, but he is the word of God. And they live in creation, but he is the creator. Where Jesus is coming from is different than where they're coming from. Let me tell y'all something. When we grew up and we realized that stuff was nothing but a bunch of bunk, we don't have black-eyed peas on January 1st. We have pork chops. Come on. Come on, y'all. Now, I buy them. I buy a can just in case Cheryl wants to open up a can of black-eyed peas, you know. Brother, so it's so crazy, you all. But that's why I want you to know God's heart and God's thoughts, because his ways, it's not our ways. Am I right? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, brethren. So where is this coming from? That's the origin. Y'all see the origin? So the offense is this. They're not washing their hands. Well, God never told the people, brethren, you have to wash your hands every time you eat. God never said that, church. Now, let me tell you, that's good for OSHA, right? But it's not from God. That's not in the Bible. Brethren, it's not. Amen, brother. It is their tradition. The Pharisees would take the law of Moses, and they would put layers and layers on the law of Moses. And they pass that stuff around by word of mouth. Y'all know how we do? By word of mouth. See, our children wouldn't know anything about having a man to knock on your door at the first of the year. Our kids wouldn't know nothing about that. You know why? Huh? Because we didn't tell them. We stopped spreading that stuff around, having them look crazy on the first of the year. Amen, brethren. Amen. And so and this is what they did. They lumped this stuff and they passed it around by the word of mouth. And in church, they kind of started thinking what God meant by stuff, and they started interpreting it according to their religious vantage point, right? And by the time Jesus shows up on the scene, there were so many layers and layers on the truth, brethren, nobody could get to the truth. That's why Jesus had to come, because to show that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and is full of grace and truth. I cannot waste my time fixing stuff on the level where I can see it. Jesus said, it doesn't even work that way in the human body. You put it in your mouth, but it doesn't even come out your mouth. Y'all get the picture? Huh, brother? Occasionally it comes out of your mouth, but typically something's really wrong. It doesn't come out where it went in. It doesn't come out in the same place that it came from. I know this, church, this is true in many areas of my life, and perhaps yours too, where I'm trying to see change and improvement, even in the area of my anger. Now, brethren, Jesus says it goes in one way, but it comes out in a different form, right? And a good question to ask about that stuff is, where did it all come from? What? You see, brethren, we don't usually get angry and lose our temper with people who we are actually mad at. We usually don't. We lose our temper, brethren, with people who we know will forgive us. Amen. That's what we do, brethren. And now you're taking it out on something, on the people you love the most. But where it's coming out is different than where is coming from. And if we don't get honest, church, about what we need from God, we'll spend yet another year mopping up the floor without finding the pipe that was busted, that was causing the leak to begin with. And a lot of times, brethren, when I'm angry, it's not really that I'm angry. It's that I'm afraid. And rather than being vulnerable in my fear, church, I'd rather express my fear through anger as a protective mechanism. Y'all see what I'm talking about? So I try to work on my temper, but what I really need to work on is my trust. My trust, because if I trusted God more, I would not be afraid. And if I wasn't afraid, brethren, I wouldn't find or need an expression of anger. Does that make sense? So where is it coming from? You need to find out where it's coming from so that you don't recreate different issue that was caused by the same disease, because you've only learned to take ibuprofen or whatever you take for the symptoms, church, but you never underwent the surgery to understand some of the beliefs beneath the behavior. See, watch this. Even church, relating to people, I have to remember, and you have to remember, that even the way that they are treating me, even the way they may be treating you, may not be a reflection of how they feel about you. It may just be a reflection of how they feel about themselves. It may be a reflection of what they're dealing with in their own time alone. And what they do is they will push you away. And that's why you have to be careful, church, not to let rejection take root in your heart. Because sometimes people are pushing you away, not because sometimes anything that's undesirable about you, but it's actually that the person find themselves so undesirable that they don't know how to let anyone get close to them. Because to let anybody get close to them, brethren, carries the risk that they will see what the problem is and they'll be found out. And you'll be spending all your time trying to love someone who is unable to receive your love. And the rejection, brethren, is not proof of your defection. It's proof of something in their own life where it shows up. It's not necessarily where it starts. Does that make sense to you all? Brother, when you deal with people enough, you understand that. Jesus knew that, which is why he did not go back and forth with these Pharisees. He knew better. He knew where it came from, brethren, and he knew that every plant that my Father does not plant will be uprooted. So he knew that where it comes from determines how it comes out. Now let me show you the outcome. I want to ask you a question today. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? In my life. So often, brethren, I've been dealing with things at the level of visibility. And Jesus says, when food goes into the stomach and comes out the body, it's like a thought that goes in the heart and comes out the mouth. Has that ever happened to you? Jesus, church, has given us something to understand about how we metabolize, brethren, our thoughts. How he gives us to think about our lives, church, and And even our disappointments and failures and where it comes from determines where it comes out. And I want to do, and I need to do, brethren, a better job at guarding my heart. Am I right? Brethren, we need to really pay attention to the types of pattern of thoughts that we allow our hearts to digest. Because our spirit has a digestive system. Jesus said, it's out of your heart that's causing the real problem. The Pharisees, brethren, they're offended. Because Jesus says, they don't have to wash their hands before they eat. Well, we don't. See, brethren, only Aaron and the priest had to wash their hands and put tradition on top of truth and made it something that was never supposed to be. You can wash your hands all you want, brethren, but what you need to do is cleanse your heart. Right? I see how to wash my hands. Brethren, I know how to make you think I'm doing okay. I know how to smile and say I'm fine, brethren. I know how to wash my hands, but how do I wash my heart? Right? See, church, this is where Jesus is greater than Moses. Moses went up on the mountain and came down with the law, and Jesus went up on the mountain and taught a sermon and said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. I didn't come to do away with it so that the law would not exist. I came that the righteous requirement of the law, church, may be fully met in us. Not by us. Jesus came, brethren, not to require righteousness, but to enable righteousness. That's what the cross was. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, brethren, the angels didn't get nervous in heaven. Amen. They didn't start trying to revise, brethren, a backup plan in heaven. Brethren, because the angels in heaven knew where Jesus came from. And when you know where it comes from, you know how it comes out. Am I right? Let me just show you how this stuff works. I was talking to a brother, Christian brother. He's an older brother, probably in his, and I'm not saying that the age just so you think this is how old people think. I'm just saying he was an older brother. He's probably in his 70s, something like this, brother. And we were working out. Now, I wasn't working out with him, but, you know, I conversate with him in the gym. He's working out, and great brother. And I was talking to him, and I asked him, you know, I just kind of been watching the games, you know, and the high schoolers and watching them, and the college games and pro games and watching them. And I said to him, hey, man, you been watching any of the games? Now I'm speaking of college games and pro games. So you been watching any games? And y'all know what's that cat play for Duke? Zion Williamson. Been watching him. Yeah. So you know, got hurt. So I'm like, yeah, been watching the game. And he said, yeah. He said, well, I really don't watch that basketball, that pro basketball stuff, because they're nothing but a bunch of thugs. I said, you're wrong. I said, you're wrong. Because let me tell you something. If I was 3 inches taller, I would be in the NBA. Yeah. That's absolutely right. And I know my mom and daddy didn't raise no thug. You know what I'm saying? No, y'all got to get this picture, brethren. He said that stuff, church, because that's what was in his heart. And so I started thinking about it. He said, yeah, you know, all of them just come out, they broke. And I said, so I'm a statistic man. So I started looking that stuff up. So I Googled it. And how many in the NBA, what's the racial breakdown in the NBA? Well, racial breakdown in the NBA, brethren, is 74.4% is black players, 23.3% are white players, 1.8% are Latino players, 0.2% are Asian players. And he said, well, you know, they go broke. And then I said, well, or what else? And then I started looking up, and they said, well, those who play the NBA, they generally in 2 years file bankruptcy, according to Sports Illustrated. 78% are NFL players. NFL players, and then it said that, and they go broke about 2 years after they get out, and 60% was NBA players. They go broke, file bankruptcy within 5 years, and I thought to myself, where did you get that kind of tradition in your heart? I say that, brethren, to say, see, this is what happens. We don't think about this stuff. But it's in our hearts. That doesn't make him a bad person. He's a child of God. All I'm saying is that, brethren, see what we can do? This is exactly what Jesus was dealing with. Jesus says, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. See, church, sometimes it's hard to sort through your heart to know what thoughts came from God and what thoughts came from ego and what thoughts came from grandma and what thoughts came from grandpa and what thoughts came from the news and what thoughts came from politics and what thoughts came from Facebook and what thoughts came from Uncle Ray and what thoughts came from Aunt Cindy and what thoughts are in your heart? Is it from God? Y'all see this stuff, brethren? We can sit up in the church building and sing, oh, how I love Jesus all day long. But what's in your heart? I tell you what's in your heart. It'll come out in your mouth. Let the vase get pushed over. And I started talking to this brother, and I told him how wrong he was. And I wasn't mean about it. I just said, hey, no, bro, that ain't right. What you basing that on? What you basing that on? We love everybody. And they just happen to have more money than we got. It can't happen if they can't manage their money. They can dunk. Yeah, Paul. Let me close with this. My righteousness, brethren, doesn't come from me. Or washing my hands, or sticking to my diet, or from losing 20 pounds, because wouldn't it be a shame to lose 20 pounds and still hate yourself because you fixed it on the surface, but you didn't receive it in the source. See, brethren, we need to evaluate our traditions. The empty traditions that has told you layers of lies, there's something you must do. You need to wash your hands. Jesus says, that's your tradition. That's not the truth. He said, normally the unclean, if it touches the clean, it makes the clean clean. But I'm not a high priest like Aaron. I'm a great high priest. So if I touch you, I don't become unclean. You become clean. Has he touched you? Has he touched you? It's easy to look like it on the outside. But he knows our heart. Guard your heart. For out of it flows the issues of life. And that's what I pray about, brethren. Lord, help me to guard my heart. I hope that's your prayer too. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for being here this morning. Take this message and be better for Jesus. Because that's what the world needs today ever more so. God's people to be God's people. If you're this morning, if you're not a child of God, come to Him. Come to Him. Not because it's been your family's tradition, but because you want to know Him. And you want to stand before Him in the end and hear Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now make you ruler over many. Come and enter into the joys of heaven." Not because your mama did it or your daddy did it, but because you did it. On the other hand, if you're a child of God, brethren, and maybe you just have not been doing a heart check, it's time, brethren, it's time, in the day and time we live in, that we do a heart check. If we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?